Yes, so thank you to our first three speakers, and now I'd like to introduce tonight's final speaker, Nick.
My name's Nick, alcoholic. Thank you, those three shares, brilliant. And, I'm definitely in the right place, I really am. I sat in there listening to everyone again. All I can really add to that is my experience, my strength, and my hope, you know, because that's all I got. That's all I got. You know, and it's funny, because all day when I haven't been really thinking on a shape, I got this thing of my mum. She always used to say, my mum and dad, you've got a bright in the head. You're not bright in the head. And they said it for years and years and years. You're not bright in the head. And they were right. I wasn't right in the head. I really wasn't. The problem was there all the time. And like everyone else said, you know, I mean, alcohol was my solution because life was painful. I found life difficult. I did. You know, I found people difficult. You know, I didn't socialize easily because I was scared, because I was riddled with fear. Because, you know, I had all these defects of character. Do you know what I mean? I just couldn't do life on life's terms. And, you know, I was acting out. I was the actor. It says in the big book about this actor, someone who was acting differently. And that's what it was like. I was the actor. I was always trying to act like the big man. I was trying to act like, I always had this act on, you know. Truth was, in hindsight, of course, if you told me at the time, I wouldn't have had it. But truth was, I was scared, you know. I was scared. And, you know, growing up, you know, girlfriends, friends, mixing with people, you know, I found it difficult. So, you know, even then, when I was younger, alcohol was my sort of sociable lubricant, really. It helped me, you know what I mean? Mixed with people, you know? Drink, when I drank, I could talk better to people, talk better to girls, you know what I mean? But from a young age, there was always issues. There was always issues of alcohol, you know? I never really drank safely, you know? I didn't actually think when you drink, I thought drinking safely was boring, really. I thought when you drank, you had to do stupid stuff. I thought that's what drinking is about, doing stupid things. Do you know what I mean? And I always share this, the consequences were there from a young age. You know, I had enough warning signs to say, Nick, I'd stop now while you're there. But I'm an alcoholic, I ain't gonna stop. You know, and it does say in the big book, you know, some people, young people, you know, can stop before they cross that line. You know, and it was no way. No, not a chance, you know. And I mean, I think it was Steve spoke about people coming in at 19 into AA. I mean, not a chance would I have come into AA at 19. I just wouldn't have happened in a million years. I would have come in here and I would have gone, you're all mental, and I would have just gone. I wouldn't have had it, because, you know, we've all got our own journey coming into AA. We've all got our own rock bottom. We've all got our own bottom point, you know. I mean, for me, I wouldn't have done it, you know, because I had to be smashed. My ego had to be rendered ineffective enough to do this. You know, because, you know, when we come into AA, you know, people come in and you see this massive thing of 12 steps, people talking about God, do you know what I mean? It's quite scary, you know? But when you're broken and beaten enough, it's not as scary, you know? And so, yeah, experience, you know, I'm a hopeless alcoholic, you know, and I drank because I couldn't do life, and then alcohol became my solution to life, you know? Because I was scared, because I had these defects, because I couldn't do life on life's terms, I drank as much as I could, you know. And, I was one of them naive people who thought I'd be all right. I'd be able to one day get up, stop drinking, and my life's going to be phenomenal. I'm going to have peace of mind. I'm going to be feeling great about myself. It's going to be brilliant. But I forgot one thing. When I started drinking, my life wasn't like that. I started drinking because life was crap. I couldn't do life on life's terms at all. And I was barking mad. Do you know what I mean? And I will put my hands up here now. I was barking mad. There's no doubt about it. My head was not right. You know, when my parents said to me, you're not right in the head, they were right all the time. I was mental. I really was. My view on the world, my perspective on the world was completely crazy, do you know what I mean? And yeah, you know, I just had no tools to do life at all, you know? And, you know, I did okay for myself considering. You know, I grew up, I was a bit of a troublemaker. I got in a lot of trouble growing up as a kid. And, you know, a lot of it was the example of my brothers, because my brothers were tearing, well, my one brother was tearing, the other one was like really straight-laced, and I just didn't want to be a straight-laced type. I just couldn't do that, you know? So I sort of followed the mad one a bit, and I sort of got myself in trouble quite a bit. And but, you know, I straightened out as the years gone. I got a little bit better. And but then alcohol, you know, I found alcohol. You know, because when I started drinking, you hear a lot of people say they're okay. When they started drinking, they drank for fun. I didn't start drinking for fun. I was drinking because I could not deal with the world. I couldn't deal with my emotional nature. I couldn't deal with the way I thought, where I felt. You know what I mean? I was working in a job I hated. I was working with people I hated because I had no social skills. I giggled like a little girl. Everyone pissed me off every day. I used to go home from work full of resentment. Just constant, my head race, analyze the ass of everything anyone said to me. You know, I had no peace, I had no ease and comfort, and that's what I was like day in, day out. Alcohol was my solution to stop that. I picked up alcohol to shut my head up, because if I didn't have alcohol, I wouldn't sleep at night, and I'd have this head what just constantly talks crap to me all the time, racing and racing and racing. That was my normal state of mind. I never knew what peace of mind was. I never had ease and comfort with alcohol, you know. And as I say, I started drinking myself to sleep every night, you know. And, you know, I used to go to work the next day. I was still trying to function. And you have got functional alcoholics in AA. I was not a functional alcoholic because, I got to be honest, it was carnage. You know, I used to go to work and I used to lose my car. I used to literally come out of work and then I've lost my car because I can't remember where I put it. Do you know what I mean? Literally, and it was like a daily thing. That's the worst part. I used to do it all the time. I used to come to work, and I'd spend an hour looking for my car because there's a multi-story car park outside where I worked, and I'd literally lose my car on a daily basis. I mean, that's why I used to go to work every day, you know? And, you know, it's progressive, and it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse, and I lost the job. I ended up losing everything I had, and I mean everything, you know? And I didn't think it could get worse, and it did. You know, and I'm grateful it did, because it could have took me to that, you know, that place where I was broken and I was beaten enough, you know, because I did, I lost everything, you know. There was all these sort of goalposts, you know, where if I get there, I'll stop. If I become homeless, I'll stop. If I lose my job, I'll stop. If I, you know, and when I got to that, I thought, maybe, and I kept on moving them goalposts all the time. And I did, I lost the job, I lost my home. I lost my car, and I mean literally lost it. I don't mean lost it, do you know what I mean? Literally lost it. I lost everything, you know, and I had nothing, and I had nothing for a long time, for many years, you know. And my life was pretty much drinking on a daily basis, morning and the night, or all the time. My life on a daily basis was blackout, you know, consequences of blackout, doing things I don't even know I was doing half the time. And if I wasn't drinking, it was taking every substance I could, you know, just to get out of my head. And that's how I lived for years and years and years, you know. And the consequences came thick and fast. I ended up in custody a lot. I ended up in prison a lot. I ended up in the police station a lot. I had my own cell in the end. I was in there so much, you know what I mean? And I used to always, I was remember, I can't remember what year it was. It's been so long now, but it was like 2003 and I wrote in big, massive, right, Nicky D. That's what I used to call myself, but I don't know why. Nicky D, 2003. And all the people used to guess were pissed off me, because when they were locked up, you'd always see this Nicky D, 2003 on the wall, you know what I mean? But that was my mentality. Do you know what I mean? That's what I was like. You know, I mean, I was speaking to someone the other day, but my time I was in treatment. I went into treatment 4 times, and they threw me out every time. And I think about, why did they throw me out? I mean, my one time I was in treatment, let me explain what I was like. I was in this treatment facility, it was up in Chester, and I used to literally, every night, I'd go down, I'd blow my test to show that I hadn't been drinking. Then I'd go upstairs and get drunk, and then go downstairs in the treatment centre garden facility and throw potatoes through people's windows. When I look back, I wonder why I didn't survive that. I mean, I wonder why I drank again. Do you know what I mean? You know, I used to be there drunk every night, and they threw me out after 4 months of drinking every night, and I was so angry towards our treatment centre throwing me out. How dare they throw me out? How can they do that to me? I drank every night, for God's sake. Do you know what I mean? And I look back, and I can laugh, because to me, tonight's a bit of a milestone for me, you know, because, you know, I've reached another birthday, 16 years, and it blows my mind. It really does, you know, because these milestones, like when you hit 6 months, a year, and all these times, it still make you think back, you know, how far you've come. And that's how I've been feeling all week, actually. You know, just thinking, oh, I'm quite mad, quite wow, really. And because when I arrived in this group, I was in big trouble. And it wasn't by my drinking, it was, and I was sober, you know, because, you know, like I say, after years of chaos, after years of carnage, I landed in Plymouth in a halfway house, and I was sober for the first time in a long time. I didn't want to go to AA because I went to AA before and they hugged you stuff, and I didn't like it. I went to AA and people had to share and speak in front of other people, and I didn't like it because I was a big man. Even though when I used to go to AA, I used to be terrified. And but what happened was, every day sober in Plymouth, in this half of house, I got sicker, I got sicker, I got sicker. And restless, irritable, and discontented, life was painful. Thinking was torturing me. My mind was torturing me. Every day sober, my mind tortured me more and more and more, you know? I couldn't deal with people at all. If I met you and you looked at me in a certain way, I'd be thinking about the way you looked at me for days, for weeks. If you didn't even look, if you looked at someone by the side of me, I'd be looking how you looked for days and weeks and weeks. And I tortured myself with that, you know? And that's when I knew what the problem was. Alcoholism is worse. It's not about alcohol. The problem isn't a bottle of alcohol. That's not the problem. You know, it's not the substances you're using. That's not the problem. The problem is that. Alcohol doesn't make me an alcoholic. That's what I drink to deal with that. You know, and that's when I knew how much trouble I was in. When I stopped drinking, my mental health got really bad. You know, and I always say this to people, listen to the similarities, not the differences, because we're all at different stages, we're all different people, do you know what I mean? We've all got different experiences of it drinking and why we drink and stuff, you know? And, you know, for me, my mental health was terrible when I walked into AA. You know, when I was sober, I was restless, irritable and discontented, I felt awful, you know? I just couldn't do life on life's terms, you know? And I was bang in trouble, you know? And I knew I was going to drink again, and that was the most scary part of what brought me into AA. And I've got to be honest, I walked into AA, one of the biggest skeptics towards Alcoholics Anonymous you would ever, ever meet. I hated AA. When I arrived in this meeting 16 years ago, I despised it. I'm not lying. Mind you, I despised everything. I was a dry drunk. I hated everything. Everything. Do you know what I mean? I was a real bitter man. And, you know, the meetings I've been to, you know, like I said, they people used to just sit down bitching and moaning. Do you know what I mean? So I thought AA was just the place you go. Tell everyone how shite your life is, and that is it. Do you know what I mean? So when I turned up to this meeting on a Tuesday night, I sat in that meeting, and like I say, I've always said this, I didn't get hugs, which was a good start. I've got to be honest, because that would have been a deal breaker for me. I've got to be honest at the time. But I walked into that meeting that night, and I sat down, and I heard the message of recovery for the first time in my life, and it blew my mind. You've been where I've been. You've drunk like I drank. Felt like I felt, you know, you spoke about this obsession, you know, of the mind with, you know, and the allergy and this craving, and I just related to every person in that room, you know. It didn't matter if you'd been to prison, it didn't matter if you'd been homeless, it didn't matter if you were high bottom, low bottom, wide bottom, didn't care. I sat in that meeting that night and I heard the solution. I related to you all for the first time, do you know what I mean? I sat there and thought, wow, this might work for me, might, you know, because I tried to find recovery for a long time, you know. I say tried. It wasn't really a big effort. I tried half-assed, tried, do you know what I mean? So I wasn't totally, I didn't totally think it worked for me. But yeah, I sat in that room that night and I got hope for the first time in my life. Hope. I was a hopeless alcoholic. And I mean hopeless. I got hope, do you know what I mean? You know, I actually started to think maybe this might work for me. I do the things these guys have done. But I also realized I had to give up on me, you know, because I was the problem. I was the person who took me into all that chaos, the carnage, the drinking, the madness, all that stuff. I realized I had to give up on me, you know, and tried to give up on my self-will as well, because I was an extreme example of self-will and riot. Do you know, I didn't have to be drunk to do mad stuff. I was the type of person, sober, who did completely barking mad stuff. Do you know what I mean? I was a walking disaster. I was a walking Mr. Bean. I really was. I was a disaster. And that's when I came into it. I knew I had to give up on myself, you know, and me, because I was a person who got myself in that trouble. And so, yeah, people spoke up on the steps. People spoke about God. And that word God, I wasn't too keen, I've got to be honest. I weren't overjoyed when I heard the word God. I didn't think, oh, happy days, God, yay. Not at all. But I didn't hear that. What I heard was people said I could find, all I needed to do was find a power greater than myself. That's all I needed. The power greater than me. You know? It was made easy. I didn't have to believe in God. I didn't have to believe in religion. This is a spiritual program. It's about spirituality, you know? So it was made easy for me, you know, and the sponsorship stuff. It's funny because when I never thought I'd ever get a sponsor in AA because I didn't like AA. Do you know what I mean? I didn't hear of many people who had a sponsor in AA. In the meetings I used to go to, they didn't even speak about sponsorship. They didn't even speak about the steps. The steps was a swear word. Do you know what I mean? I mean, they spoke about being happy, to be honest. And pretty much, you know, I knew I was in the right place. And when I got that sponsor and I started taking these daily actions, I started to get hope in my life, and I started to get a little bit weller. And I say a little bit, but I was still a bit mad in the early days of my recovery, do you know what I mean? And my sponsor started taking me from the steps, you know, and, you know, I started to pray to this higher power, and I started praying on a daily basis. I started doing these daily actions, and, you know, I was praying in the morning, praying at night, my chest for the day card, my gratitude list, reviewing it in the morning, and reading my big book, and within a week of doing it, I started to feel better. Not massively better, but I started to feel a bit better. I thought, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. Something's working. So they started taking me from the steps. And when I got to step four, I did think this is going to be a big task, you know, because I had a lot of resentments. As I already said, I was a very bitter man. And it was a big task, but I wanted what these people had. These people had what I wanted, so I put my head on and I did it, you know, and I started looking at my resentments, I looked at my conduct, which was a little bit creepy, which is weird because I spent most of my time drinking unconscious, so I didn't have much of a conduct when I was drinking, to be fair. I mean, I really didn't. My conduct was garbage compared to most people, because when I was drinking, I was always in my face and my food, if I had food. And I looked at my fears. You know, and I didn't understand it, I just did it, you know. And when I sat down with my sponsor, and I know you've got to think, I did my step five, 15 years, 8 months ago, was when I sat down with my sponsor and I read my step five out. It was the most amazing experience I've ever had in my life. It really, really was. But I did have a flu, I was coughing and spluttering all the way through it. I thought it was all evil coming out, see what I mean? And I read this stuff out to my sponsor, and within a couple of days, I started to feel what everyone spoke about. I started to feel peace. I had nothing going on in my head. The first time ever in my life, there was nothing going on in my head, nothing. I was walking down into town to meet up with newcomers, and I wasn't feeling anything. I wasn't worried, it was looking at me. You know, I wasn't worried about nothing. And that was the first time I thought, wow, this is what they're talking about, you know? And it fired me up. That's the truth. Step five fired me right up. You know, I wanted more. You know, and that's when I started to love AA. And, you know, I carried on working from the steps, and I got the step eight, and I thought, oh, more writing, you know. It really did. I did feel like it was like A-level AA for a minute. And I looked at my step eight. I looked at all the harms I caused. And, you know, it was quite tough looking at my family, especially because I did a lot of damage. I did a lot of harm there, you know. They seen a lot of bad stuff, and you know, when I went to make amends to them, you know, it was a powerful thing, you know. And we talk about the 12-step program and the process, you know. When I did my step nines and I started making amends, something deep down inside me changed, where I started to care how I treated people for the first time in a long time, because I was numb to the world, I was numb to my actions, and I didn't care what I did to people, because it was everyone else's fault. Step four and five made me look at my defects. It made me look at me. Step eight and nine made me look how I treated other people, you know, and it started giving me a conscience back, which was great, because I didn't have one for a long time because I didn't care. So for the first time, yeah, you know, and I recovered from the hopeless state of mind and body. You know, what does recovery look like? What does recovery look like? You know, it's, people talk about change of thought and attitude, you know, and my thinking changed around picking up alcohol. My thinking changed about my life, you know, my life completely transformed from inside out. There's no doubt in my mind at all. You know, it's funny because I've been years and years in recovery and I've had people come up to me going, have you had a spiritual awakening? I mean, I've been sober years and years, and I'm not the type of person who stays sober years and years and years and years and years. I'm just not. You know, I am a hopeless case. You know what I mean? I'm not the type. And it's more than that. It's, you know, it's not like, to me, I find staying sober easy now because I'm wrapped up in AA, you know? You come and spend a day with me, you'll probably find that yourself. You'll probably see what we... I mean, I was thinking this the other day. I've had people say to me, and it pisses me off, right? And it really does my head in, that this, I don't relate to this. Or is it you take AA too serious? Now, it pisses me right off, right? Because I don't relate to people who say that. Sorry, right? Because AA is life and death for me. This has saved my life. And if I hadn't found Alcoholics Anonymous and I hadn't took this stuff serious and I didn't get a strong sponsor and I didn't listen to that person and go from the steps, I would have been dead years and years and years ago, and I would have been buried somewhere. God knows where. God knows where. Fact. And that is a fact. You know? I have no doubt in my mind. So, yeah, I'm passionate about something that will save my life. And I don't feel bad about it, you know? I'm quite proud of it. You know, I'm proud to be in AA. I'm proud to be in a strong group like this, you know? And, yeah, you spend a day with me, you'll see AA is a big part of my life, you know? And my life's got busy. My life's got so very busy over the years. You know, it's funny because when I started, like, when I first came in, I didn't work until I was a year and a half in recovery, and my sponsor called me a dosser and told me to get a job, so I didn't work. You know what I mean? I was just quite happy going for coffee, meeting up with newcomers, working with newcomers every day, doing service all the time. I thought I was there. I thought, I'm the man, you know what I mean? And then he called me a dosser and told me to get a job. So anyway, I got this job, and that's when I thought, wow, now this is growth. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to learn a lot here. Because, you know, when I first got my first job, it's bloody... All the people used to piss me off on my step four, I thought, my God, they were all there. Do you know what I mean? Everyone, students, you name them, every person who was there, I struggled with on my step four was there and working with them. And I grew loads, you know? But my journey in AA is mad. The journey I've been on, even work-wise, you know? Like I said, I started off working in a bloody chicken restaurant, you know what I mean? And it was bloody hard work. You know, I'm not even going to talk about chicken dances and stuff. And, you know, I ended up going to university, do you know what I mean? It's bad. And then I got my degree, and I stood there getting my degree, and there was these people up front, and it was like a woman specializing in with criminals and stuff. And she was talking about people, you know, she's there helping people with criminals. And I'm just thinking, I'm picking up my degree. I'm one of them, do you know what I mean? I'm picking my degree up with all these people, you know? It's just quite mad. You know, I've had quite surreal experiences in AA, you know, and... yeah, it's all I can add to the still suffering alcoholic really is this stuff is amazing. It really, really is powerful. I mean, if you get that sponsor, if you are willing to go to any lengths, really throw yourself in, give your whole to it, give wholeheartedly everything to it. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what I did. I was a blank piece of paper. I was open to it. You will get sober. You will stay sober. And more than that, you will be able to live a life beyond your wildest dreams. And I know it sounds cheesy, but it is. It's beyond your wildest dreams. You're going to be able to live that life you always wanted, sober. You know, because that's what's happened for me. It's happened for Sheila tonight. You're here in the meeting again and again and again. People saying the same thing. This works if you work it. But you ain't going to get it. If you come into AA pissing around and not doing it, not taking it serious and not being honest and not getting stuck in, you won't get it. And we have had casualties over the years. We've seen people die. We've had many casualties. I've seen them more than most. People die if they don't take this stuff serious, you know. So you go two roads you can go on. Road we're on, which is pretty amazing. Or the other road, which is pretty shite, really, to be fair. And, yeah, have a good one. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Nick. Before I open the